Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
After we get to the end of that long story of Joseph in the Old Testament, we're kind of tired. We've heard a lot of the story, and so we slow down. Maybe we don't even read to the end of the story. But if we did, we would find something very important, at least in my opinion. You remember how the story begins? The story begins with a young boy, Joseph, who is having all kinds of dreams that we learn by inference are being sent to him from none other than God. And these dreams imply, strongly indicate, that at some point in the future, Joseph is going to rule over his brothers. Brothers don't take too kindly to that. And then, in additional dreams, it's revealed that Joseph's not only going to rule over his brothers, he's going to rule over his parents as well. Even Joseph's father, Jacob, is a little miffed by this. Will your mother and I bow down to you also? He asks. Well, the story proceeds, and Joseph is sold into slavery, and he's up and he's down, and eventually ends up, by God's design, as the ruler of Egypt, second in command of Pharaoh only. And there come his brothers, and eventually, after some back and forth, down comes his father as well, Jacob. And the story ends with Jacob caring for his father, with Joseph caring for his father, Jacob, there in Genesis chapters 46 and 47. Why does he do it? And is that perhaps a great fulfillment of all those dreams? Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Joseph caring for Jacob in Genesis 46 and 47, Pastor Tom Baker, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
The brothers and even the parents interpret Joseph's dream as a little child as him ruling over them. But in the end, while he does politically rule over them as the leader of Egypt, what he ends up doing is actually taking care and saving his family. Is that what the dreams were about, perhaps, all along?
It's possible he was unaware that is what the dreams were about, but it sure shows Joseph as a figure of the coming Messiah, because who would ever say that any one of us are superior to Jesus? But when he comes, what does he do? I'll just give you one example. He washes the feet of the disciples on Maundy Thursday, and Peter is shocked because that's the work of a slave. So that those who really are in a relationship with us, though they may even be superior to us, they are to serve us. We often say that about politicians. They're really there to serve us, even though they'll have a superior standing above us if they're a governor, a mayor, a president, a senator, etc. And Joseph here is led by God to do what God really wanted to happen, because God is throughout this story. For example, he first appears in chapter 46 when he's speaking to Israel, who is Jacob. I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. Which means when someone dies, they often have their eyes open. And I believe he's referring to the fact that Joseph, his son, will close the eyes of his father when he dies. Now, that's a promise that Jacob, boy, he had trouble believing it. He was a lot like Moses. God says to Moses, let's go down to Egypt. We'll get everybody out of Pharaoh's hand. And Moses says, I'm not able to do that. And God says, whoa, 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 I'm going with you. And so when God is with us, then any promise he makes will be fulfilled. And we just ought to take it as an honor that we become part and parcel of that promise. Like a pastor, we've baptized 7 children in the last about 8 weeks. And what an honor. I have no power to bring those children into the kingdom of God. But I have the authority to speak the words, use the water and the sacrament of holy baptism God uses to bring them into the kingdom of God here on earth. So this is a story that can touch every one of us and can be very helpful for people who come to church, because we have a God who never breaks his promises.
So let's talk about what Joseph does for his father there in Genesis 46 and 47. And then, if you would, set it in the context of the fourth commandment, that is, honor your father and mother.
Yes, what finally happens is that Jacob does go to Egypt, and there they are reunited. In fact, that's in verse 29 of chapter 46. Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. Remember, that's the name that God gave to Jacob. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Now, that shows the close relationship that Joseph has with his father. And I'm really glad you mentioned the fourth commandment, because I was with the elders of Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm last night, and I was discussing what I'm intending to do, because school starts in August. We're back in parochial school with confirmation, and the kids really have been taught well by Pastor Gaunt, the small catechism. And so we're going to start, I said, start using the large catechism. Because the large catechism, I believe, even students in parochial school can learn from it. And as you mentioned, Luther writes in the large catechism, and that, by the way, the large catechism is part of the Book of Concord. So if you have the Book of Concord, it's in there. And he says, in regard to this commandment, you are to esteem and prize parents as the most precious treasure on earth. In fact, I remember long ago when I first read this, one thing that stuck in my mind is that Luther referred to parents as a hidden sovereignty. In other words, they are the first line of defense that God uses for children against the power of the devil, the power of the world, and the power of our flesh. And so we can see in Joseph a great obedience to the fourth commandment as properly understood. Yes, he had a high position in Egypt, but he did not consider it high enough that when he met his father, he told him, well, you better bow down before me, because look how important I am. No, he wept on the neck of his father, and it must have been pretty obvious, because the Bible says that they did it for a while, a good while. And so those who were witnessing it would have seen the great love that Joseph had for his father, Jacob.
And it really kind of shows the purpose of that commandment, doesn't it? That the purpose of this commandment is not just obedience to parents, but ultimately service to parents.
Yes. In the large catechism, Martin Luther makes a good point that we are to take care of our parents. He says, if we had no father and mother, we should wish, on account of this commandment, that God would set up a block or a stone which we might call father and mother. How much more when he has given us living parents should we be happy to show them honor and obedience? And then he goes into a lengthy session talking about how proper children do take care of their parents. And they take care of their parents because of their love for them, and also because it's part of the command. But we don't do it with a motivation of, I better obey God or else. We do it because of the love that has been generated from the parents toward us, and now we reciprocate back to them because of all that they had done for us as we have been growing up.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today on Joseph caring for Jacob in Genesis chapters 46 and 47. Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, the care here is, he's kind of giving back what the parents first gave. We'll talk a little bit about that after this. I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has you covered. Check out the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of $6.99 for six digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Joseph caring for his father Jacob in Genesis chapters 46 and 47. Another thing I wanted you to talk about, Tom, is the fact that, well, the roles are kind of reversed here. Ordinarily with a father and a son, it's the father who, especially near the end of his life, is in kind of in a position to give his son all sorts of things. There's an inheritance involved, but that's kind of reversed here. Jacob now comes empty-handed due to this famine, along with the rest of his family, by the way. And it is Joseph, the son, who's in the position to care here for his father with no real prospect of getting anything in return. Talk about that.
This whole concept of reversals is found throughout the scripture. You already pointed out the one here where Joseph, the son, now is in a position where he not only is going to be able to take care of his father, but give them a land. Another good reversal here is that he takes Jacob in to see Pharaoh. And guess what the first words are in verse 7? Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh's the superior. But Jacob, of course, is the believer. And then Pharaoh says to Jacob, how many are the days of the years of your life? And he says, well, 130 years. And we would say, boy, that's pretty old. But in reality, Abraham died at 175 and Isaac at age 180. But what Jacob does in verse 10, he blesses Pharaoh again when Pharaoh gives the promise that they'll be able to sojourn in the land of Goshen. And it says, Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Now, Goshen was what Pharaoh had commanded, but actually Ramesses is a portion of the Goshen region in that land. And in fact, the city of Ramesses would later be built there. And so Joseph provided his father. That's verse 12. And that's the essence of the fourth commandment, that children, after they have been provided by parents, they provide, therefore, their parents. And he provided not only his father, but his brothers who had sold him into slavery, and all his father's household with food. And so they lived there, and of course we know the rest of the story, for 400 years, and then Pharaoh didn't know Joseph that well and made the Israelites slaves, and we know the rest of it with Moses. But the other thing I want to point out, it occurs in the Large Catechism. Luther says the fourth commandment is the one with promise. Whoever keeps this commandment will enjoy good days, happiness, and prosperity. 2 days ago, Synod put out a magazine called Health. And it was talking about a survey among over almost 60,000 women who attend church every Sunday. And it made the point that they were living a number of years longer than they should have, even though they smoked, they drank, and they never exercised. And you're wondering, how could that happen, where they live longer? Well, this is what happens in a church service. Because of law and gospel, many people walk into those doors Sunday morning with something on their mind. They're depressed. They're anxious. And a proper liturgy, hymnody, sermons, and of course the sacraments, what it does, it brings comfort to individuals, and we know that a leading cause of death or a leading cause of getting illness is because people are either depressed, they're anxious over something. And I found it a real interesting article that showed frequent attendance at church lessens sickness, lessens death. And therefore, I would say, obedience to the fourth commandment definitely does that. I know, Todd, you were a pastor for a time. I bet you can count on one hand the number of families that you had to give serious counseling to where the parents and the children attended church every week. It rarely happens. Where the counseling comes in, where the marriages are sometimes falling apart, where children are refusing to go to church, this is often because they weren't trained to realize that in the church service, they receive from the Holy Trinity the information necessary to counter the power of the world that is everywhere around them. And the less they attend worship, then, as Luther says, the less they will enjoy good days, happiness, and prosperity from God's point of view.
Folks, we talk with Pastor Tom Baker every week based upon a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ, and it says here at the end, Jesus demonstrated a flawless interpretation of the fourth commandment in his obedience to his Father's will, going to the cross. It is Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curricula, Growing in Christ. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Tom Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get Uwe Simonetto's reaction to German Chancellor Angela Merkel's announcement that she favors a decision of conscience on gay marriage. We'll also discuss purgatory in our series responding to Roman Catholic proof texts with Pastor Stephen Parks. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.